The book of Philippians, chapter number 1. If you have your Bibles this evening and want to turn, Philippians, chapter number 1. We'll read just a few verses here. Try our best to give you what's on our heart for the service this evening. Trust that the Lord will help us. And just try to get along with Him today and see what He'd have for the service. Don't feel like I have a whole lot on my heart, but I'll try my best to give you what I feel He's given to me. And I don't want to repeat anything that we covered on Tuesday night, but I feel like maybe we'll be in that same mindset or that same gear maybe tonight. But the Lord knows, and so we'll try our best to be mindful of Him and trust that You'll pray for us and that He'll help us tonight. Philippians chapter 1, we'll begin our reading in verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. The Bible said, of course, Paul here is writing to this church at Philippi. He said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." We'll stop our reading there. I thought about these verses and what the Apostle Paul here is saying, and there's a whole lot in just what we read tonight. And in this book of Philippians, Paul is going to talk a whole lot about suffering, and he's going to talk a whole lot about what he has encountered for the gospel's sake. Now, if you read your Bible and understand, I think that it's probably right to say that apart from Christ, Paul probably suffered more than any other man that we know about. He gives a list in one of his writings about how he's been shipwrecked numerous times, in prison numerous times, beaten with above 40 stripes, has been stripped naked, left destitute, put out in the cold, food's been withheld from him so that he might starve to death. And so Paul has suffered. And he's writing this church at Philippi, and he begins in the beginning of chapter number 1, if you were to go back and read it, he begins to commend them. They were very much supportive of him, supportive of his work, supportive of his labor, supportive of his ministry. They contributed cheerfully, both financially and prayerfully, to the work that the Apostle Paul was doing. And many of them had heard about his suffering. Many of them had heard about the things that he's encountered, and so we must understand at this point that the Apostle Paul's writing this letter to this church not out on some mission work, not out preaching the gospel as they would want to hear that he was doing, but imprisoned in Rome. And so many of them don't understand how that if the work is being done for God, how that if the gospel's going out, how that if this is a man sent from God with a conversion, like Paul talked about on the Damascus Road, that how is he having to suffer? Why are all these troubles coming? Many of them were weak in the faith, and their faith began to waver because of the sufferings of the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul reminds them that there's a reason for his suffering. And not only is there a reason for his, but he said that all all that would live godly in Christ Jesus should suffer. And he reminds them in this chapter, and I began to read it today, and just came across it, I don't believe by just coincidence or happenstance, but I believe this is where God wants us to be. I just began reading and it caught my attention that the Bible said in verse number 29, as the Apostle Paul's writing to these believers in this church at Philippi, that it was a gift to them. He uses the word given. It is given unto you not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on his name, but he said it's been given unto you to suffer for his sake. I began to think about that and it began to work in my heart about the word given. The word given means to bestow favor or to give a gift. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, as he said in days gone by in the book of Ephesians, he said your salvation is a gift of God. But he said not just your salvation, but your call to suffer for the cause of Christ is a gift from God. I'm telling you, that's something that's a hard pill to swallow. It's hard for us in our flesh and in these days especially. And I know we've spent some services talking about all the things that are going on in our day. And I'm not just trying to preach from the newspaper or anything like that. But I think God's trying to get our attention and get down where we're living at. And all these persecutions, all these troubles, all these trials and tribulations that you and I go through and do us good. God began to work in my heart today as the Apostle Paul was writing this church at Philippi to tell us that there's a reason for our suffering. We don't need to view our the reason so many are falling out by the wayside, the reason so many are just falling by and are quitting and are turning around and are going some other direction, as they've been convinced that these things that are happening to the church, that these things that are happening to the people of God are just some happenstance or circumstance that's befallen us. But that's not the way the Apostle Paul read it. And that's not how he wrote to this church. And that's not how he saw his own suffering. He didn't see being shipwrecked in the sea as just some happenstance or because that some storm came on him. But he knew that God would use that suffering to bring about his purpose. And that's what God's doing, I believe, in the church today among the people of God. Matter of fact, Paul mentions it in the beginning of chapter 1. And he said, all the things that have happened unto me, all this trouble that have come, all this suffering I went through, he said it's been for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. In other words, what Paul said is he said, now because of my imprisonment, now I'm in Rome among a bunch of people that are heathen, that don't know anything about God, that was part of the ones that crucified Christ. But he said, now the gospel's heard in the palace because I'm here. He said, now the gospel's heard by folks that it would never have been heard before had God not let me be brought to this place. And I'm telling you, many have said it, and I've said it, and some of you have said it, in this circumstance and situation that we find ourselves in, the gospel's being heard by folks that probably would have never heard the gospel had the church not become under suffering, had we not been brought to this place. And so my encouragement for you tonight is to know that there is a reason for the suffering that we're going through. Not just some happenstance. If I believed everything that was going on around us just by chance has happened, or is just something that the world has brought upon the church, I'd probably be well tempted to close the book and go to the house and probably not come back. But something, it does something down in my soul to know that even though it's hard, and even though there are days we get frustrated and days we get aggravated, but yet to know there's a reason behind all of this. The Apostle Peter put it as a fiery trial. And we talked some about that Tuesday night. That meant the refiner's fire. that they put the gold or the silver in. And in other words, in our circumstance, what the refiner's fire does is whatever's put in shines brighter after it goes through the fire. And that's what's happening, I think, in the church in our day. God wants the light to shine a little brighter in a dark day that we're living in. And so rest assured and take encouragement and take hope to know that all the things that we're enduring in this life, there's a reason for all of this. A reason. But there's not just a reason. And the reason is for the advancement of the gospel. I mean, that's the whole business of the church, is to preach the gospel. And so if anything can work in our lives that might bring about the advancement of that gospel, then it ought to be our joy and our desire that whatever it may be. I know there's some dark nights that we want to quit the suffering. I know there's some dark nights and lonely times that we want the storm to be over. But if God could just remind us again that He's working His goodwill and pleasure, and in the end He'll get glory out of us, and the gospel will go forth, then we ought to be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Paul said it's our gift to suffer for His name's sake. But there's not just a reason, but there is a relationship that comes out of suffering. There is something, and I understand, I know that several weeks ago or months ago, I guess now, time goes by so fast, that we covered some of this in the Sunday school hour. Now, I'm not trying to rehash everything that was taught then, but over in just a couple chapters, in chapter number 3, is where the Apostle Paul's going to talk about the fellowship of His suffering. And he said that through the fellowship of His suffering, the Bible said, as Christ suffered, so ought we also to suffer. And so there is a fellowship among sufferers. It's kind of like going somewhere and going through something you've never been through before. And if you want some help from somebody, you're going to seek out somebody that's been through what you're going through. And so as Christ suffered, and then we must suffer, through our sufferings we have fellowship with Him in our sufferings. And Paul said that it's through this fellowship that we come to know Him. That's what Paul said. That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, we don't like to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. But if we could see the relationship that is being brought out of our suffering, it might make us a little more willing to go through the suffering that we're going through. That word know in the Greek is the most intimate knowledge that's inside a relationship between. It gives the notion of that intimate bond between a husband and a wife that you can't get anywhere else but inside a marriage relationship. And so the Lord is wanting an intimate walk with you and an intimate relationship and an intimate fellowship that you can't get anywhere else in the world. And the only way to get that type of relationship is to suffer for His sake. And out of that comes a knowledge. That's what Paul said, that I may know Him. Now this knowledge, one writer said, it's a special knowledge that don't come from anything else. It's not something you learn in a textbook somewhere. It's not even something. I'm not trying to do any discredit to the Word of God, but the type of knowledge that Paul is talking about is not the knowledge that you get from reading the Word of God. It's not even the knowledge you get from praying and communing with God, but it's a special knowledge that only is gained through the fellowship of His suffering. And so it's special. Somebody said it's superior. It's so far greater, all these people on the earth All these doctors and these political leaders, they all claim to have knowledge. And they say, I know this and I know what we ought to do and how to stop all this. But I'm talking about a knowledge that's far superior than any knowledge any man possesses. But it is heaven gave. It is spiritual knowledge. It's kind of like that knowledge on the shores of Caesarea Philippi when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So what Jesus was telling Peter was that he had some knowledge that most men didn't have. And he didn't gain the knowledge by conversation. I appreciate being able to converse with other brethren. I appreciate being able to talk out what's going on inside. But I'm telling you, there's a knowledge to be had as the people of God that we can only receive through the fellowship of His suffering. And so this suffering that we must endure, as Paul said here in verse 29, it is given unto us to suffer. It's a gift unto us to suffer when we realize the relationship that comes out of our suffering. I hope this is making sense. Find this way to your heart. It's something that I can't convince you of. I mean, I understand that I'm up here preaching, trying to tell you about this relationship, but I can't convince you it's so. But if you allow God to put you in the fire and to take you through the suffering and to walk hand in hand with Him and to gain that intimate relationship, you'll understand in the end. We may not understand it right now. We may not understand it tomorrow, but a few weeks or months or years down the road, when we walk out of the fire hand in hand with Him and He's with us and we're with Him, when we're like that Shunammite woman that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved, then we'll understand at that point that it was truly a gift from God, that we have suffered what we've suffered for His name's sake. Ain't that right? So there is a reason why we're suffering. There is a relationship that is birthed out of our suffering. But then there'll be a reward at the end of the suffering. And I'm done tonight. But I thought the reward is a twofold reward. I believe there are two things. This is the way God put it in my heart. I believe there are two things that make up the reward for those that will suffer for His name's sake. I think the first part of the reward is the end of the suffering. That when the suffering is over, that's part of the reward. That's why the Apostle Paul has said it is our light affliction which endureth but just a moment. It won't be forever. That's the reward of suffering, is that it doesn't last forever, but there'll be a day that it's over. I thought about how fitting it was. And some of you, most of you didn't know anything about what was on my heart to preach tonight. But Brother Tim called out 203, and I really didn't think about it when he called it out. But that first verse of my trials here on earth will cease someday. And I'll have unending peace someday. And so there is a someday out yonder in front of us. And that's part of our reward, that this light affliction is but for a moment. It is the suffering of this present time. But the present can't last forever. But Paul said it like this, and I'm done tonight. God worked this in my heart. He said the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I've quoted that verse and read that verse a million times, but it never had clicked in my heart them last two words, in us. There is glory that shall be revealed in heaven. There is glory that shall be revealed when the Son of Man steps out on the cloud and calls for His children to come home. But there will also be glory that shall be revealed in us as the people of God. And that is when this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption. And the Bible said, then shall that saying be brought to pass, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We shall all be changed. And when we see Him, we don't know what He shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him. The suffering days will be over, and then glory shall be revealed in us that have suffered for His name. Namesake. Paul said it like this. He said, our light affliction, which endureth for just a moment, worketh. Now that's a continual process there. That every suffering we go through, it's not just the sufferings of today, but if tomorrow comes and there are more sufferings, those sufferings, if they are sufferings for His name's sake, will continue to work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now there's a comparison made in that verse that I've never seen either until today. There's a reason that the Holy Ghost instructed Paul how to call our affliction light. And then he said, an exceeding weight of glory. The picture that Paul was trying to draw, and I'm done tonight, is a set of scales that when our affliction's put in one side and the glory out of our affliction in the other, that the glory, the reward, the outcome far outweighs the weight of the affliction. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so I felt pressed by the Lord tonight to tell you about the gift of suffering. I know it's still not fun. I know it's still not a pleasurable thing to our flesh to endure suffering. But if we could just understand by the help of God that there's a reason, God has a plan and a purpose in all of this. In the midst of his suffering, Job could not see the purpose. He could not see the plan. He said, I wish I knew where to find. He got in such a shape, he said, I don't even know where to find God. He said, if I knew where to find Him, I'd order my case before Him. But them friends kept, so-called friends, kept hounding him and hounding him. They kept trying to discourage him. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people and a whole lot of things that are going on, many of them in the name of church and in the name of religion. I'm not judging them, but what I'm saying is this, if you're not careful and you listen to them, they'll discourage you in your suffering. They came and tried to give all the reasons and all the explanations, and they had no idea. Job gave them an answer one time, and it went something like this. He said, can you not see that the hand of God is in all of this? And he said, when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And the Bible said that God blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Job came through the fire on the other side, out of the trial on the other side, closer and better with God than he was in the beginning. And so know tonight, child of God, that whatever you're going through, and it doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with what's going on in the world today. There may be a subject, there may be a circumstance, there may be a storm that is just specific to you that you're suffering in. But know there's a reason that it has been given unto us to suffer for His name's sake. That there's a relationship that God is working to draw you closer to Himself. There'll be a reward that comes out in the end from this gift of suffering. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege and opportunity to have been able to assemble together again this evening. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's come and for their presence here today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your help in the service tonight. And I pray, Lord, that it's found its life.